This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Big Bi Plus Questions is broadcast from the lands of the Yalakut Willem clan of the Boonwurrung people. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and Rainbow Mob and acknowledge their ancient history of diverse gender and sexual identities.
It's time for the show where bi becomes curious, where the pansexuals can be intellectuals, where the queer and questioning can query, and where allies can ask anything. This is
Big Bi Questions!
Oh, wow, we got a big show for you tonight.
Huge.
Huge. I was wondering if that was a reference. I am Big Bi Dave. I am in the Big Bi Joy Studios with Big Bi Little Jace. Hello, Big Bi Little Jace.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm very good. I'm very excited for today's show.
And I've had too much coffee, so we're buggered.
Oh, it's going to be even more exciting then. Today's show is all about banging bi anthems. If you haven't listened to Big Bi Questions before, you may not know that each episode of our show focuses on a big question. It could be a question that bi plus people get asked a lot. It could be questions we ask ourselves. This one, it's a big two-parter episode. We're going to be chatting about what makes a banging bi anthem.
Yes.
Jace, what makes a banging bi anthem?
Well,
you've got 1 second.
I cannot answer it.
Well,
you know what? I don't know, but our guest has some. But our listeners can also text in on 0427569949 or email onair@joy.org.au and tell us what you think is a big banging bisexual anthem.
That's right. You can message us in. We are here live in studio, but we were joined a few weeks ago by our special guest. Did you hear what I said? By our special guest. Does that count? As a pun.
Oh yeah, you've got the button.
We might not get a chance to do that again. A few weeks ago we had a chat with our special guest Penelope, biconic singer, songwriter Penelope. If you haven't heard of her, you will after this episode. We're going to be playing a few tracks.
I would have heard it on Joy before.
Well, you might have heard it. Biconic on the Joy playlist.
You certainly heard it on Hot Bread.
Oh, on Hot Bread. Is that a plug for Joy for your show?
No, not doing it yet, so it doesn't really matter, no.
But yes, we will be playing a few tracks by Penelope. We also, of course, had to get to know her a little bit. So here's the first part of our chat with Penelope, where we got to know her. Penelope, thank you so much for being our very special guest for this very special episode. We're going to chat about bi anthems and what makes a banging bi anthem. Singer, songwriter, bicon, that's how I'm going to introduce you. How do you currently identify your attraction? If you use labels, what are they? Or if you don't use labels, how do you describe your attraction?
Yeah, I firstly, thank you for having me.
Of course.
So I like bisexual for me. Are currently in a relationship with a beautiful man, beautiful straight man, who is an ally.
Love that. Love an ally.
So I don't like to sort of, define my attraction too much and overthink it. I've kind of just, once I came out, I just followed wherever, my heart or other things led me.
Of course, get followed by those things. We want to get to know you a little bit more, but we do have on Big Bi Plus Questions for all of our guests a very professional, very important research survey into bi stereotypes. So I'm sure you know there's some stereotypes that bi people get given, which are maybe harmful, but there's a lot of fun ones. For instance, that bi people can't sit on chairs properly. So we have a little research
she
survey.
She falls off her chair.
There's 10 stereotypes that Jace will read out to you, and we want you to say either yes if it applies to you or no if it doesn't. There's no right or wrong answers. There's no benchmark. We're just doing a bit of research. I'm going to hand things over to Jace to be our survey master.
Welcome to the Bi Plus Stereotype Research Survey, a fact or fiction. Question number one. Have you dyed your hair a non-traditional colour?
Yes.
Yes.
We're seeing that right
see
now.
See that right now.
A nice, beautiful purple hue.
Yes. Nice. It's ombre. Okay. Question number two. Are you bad at mathematics?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Me too.
Question number three. Do you have or have you had a nose ring?
No nose ring?
Thought cool. about it.
Doesn't count for this
doesn't
survey.
Count. Question number four. Are you unable to sit on chairs properly?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Number five. Do you like to wear cuffed jeans or cuffed clothing?
Yes.
Brilliant. Question number six. Do you use finger guns?
Yes.
Hello. Question number seven. Do you love puns?
I do, but I'm terrible at making them.
Puns are bad. They're still good. Question number eight. Have you fallen in love with the entire cast of a movie or TV series?
Yes.
Question number nine. Do you wear plaid shirts?
Yes.
And the final question for this fantastic Bi-Stereo research survey. Do you enjoy multiple beverages of different types all at the same time?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Mine is beer. I don't do beer.
Yeah. That's all right. A bit of water, a bit
of
juice, and iced coffee.
Iced coffee.
Can it all be in the one jar?
No. That doesn't count. That's one drink then.
Yeah, you get exactly. You've got to keep your liquids happening.
Thank you so much for participating. In case you're interested, you did say yes to nine of those. The only one you said no to was that you have not had or don't have a nose ring. But maybe in the future we'll ask you again and you'll be like, oh, it's happened.
We can always take you to my piercer and we can get it done.
Fabulous.
That's what he keeps threatening Dave and I with as well.
Oh, really?
You don't need your nose pierced.
Maybe we'll get Ava's.
No. Penelope, when did you first start thinking about your multi-gendered attractions?
I was in high school when I started making out with girls, but I didn't take myself very seriously. So I was like, I didn't make the connection. Sorry, that was a terrible way to say that. So yeah, I was kissing girls, but I was like, I wouldn't marry a girl being all of, 14, 15. So I must be straight. and that was as far as that thought went. And yeah, it wasn't until I was got out of a relationship after I turned 30 and was like had this like very big scratch I needed itch I needed to scratch and
there's a yeah, cream for like, that.
Yeah.
Did you get that itch scratched?
I did.
How?
I did.
Tell us about that.
Actually, I wrote a song about it. It's called Straight Until. The whole tag is, or the whole hook is, I'm straight until I'm wet. and it was written on a songwriting camp. And it was one of my co-writer, Ven, she was like saying, I'm like a spaghetti noodle. I'm straight until I'm wet. And I was like, perfect. So we're going to write that song. And we used my sort of coming out journey, which was being with a woman for the first time, which was also my first threesome.
And here is our first big bi anthem, Straight Until by Penelope.
This is Big Bi Questions on Joy 94.9, where everyone can get curious.
And you are listening to Big Bi Questions. I'm Little Jace, and we got Big Bi Dave as Button Monkey this evening. We have been chatting previously, a couple of weeks ago, with the wonderful Penelope, and we were talking a little bit about her sexuality identity. Mm-hmm. But we're going to find out a little bit more now, Dave.
What I'm interested in knowing from a lot of our Bi Plus guests is how they've navigated coming out as bi across various situations or with various types of people, like friends, family, strangers. Mm. Is there a memorable coming out moment? Because, of course, we don't do it just once. Is there a memorable moment, either good or bad, that you can share with us?
Yeah. With my friends, it was very gradual and they were like, duh.
they're like, you're sitting on chairs weirdly, you wear cuffed clothing.
Yeah, they were like, they said, Penny, you're talking about kissing women a lot and like waking up in the middle of the night with your tongue hanging out of your face.
That could have been a stroke.
Wait, is that in is that in reference to dreams? Is that what?
Yes.
That, okay.
Sorry, okay. When I was like suppressing myself when I was with my ex, and they were like, "Yeah, no, you're definitely there is something going on there." So, yeah, my friends were all very encouraging. That's kind of just like a blanket memory.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, coming out to my mum was pretty funny because my mum's gay.
Okay.
I was just talking to her about how much I love performing in the queer community and how that feels like home for me. And she was like, "You're not gay." And it was this thing that I was like wanting to tell her for ages, but I was really nervous for some silly reason. And I was like, "No, I'm bi." And then she was like, "You've never brought a woman home." And I was like, "Not to your place."
I thought you were going to say like, "Well, what's that got to do with anything?" But yeah, that's an even better response. Well. Yeah. Not that you know of.
So, and, you know, my mum was, she was, I guess, protective of me, like as a queer woman. You know, I think she was afraid of what I might cop from family or people who aren't, you know, super friendly towards queer people. And she was like, "Maybe just sit on it for a bit and like don't, in case like you don't feel that way." And and I was like, "No, I do feel this way. It's, I don't think this one's going to change. Like, this isn't there." And I think that's, yeah, and I think that's what bisexuals experience a lot, because, you know, we do get the whole, it's a journey, it's a phase, like maybe you're on your way to figuring out you're gay, or maybe you'll just turn back to liking guys and you won't ever go back, sort of thing. And so I know that's where like she was coming from with that, and like I got that. But I just reassured her and was like, "No, Mum, this isn't a phase."
I love that. With you know, that kind of thing, and obviously having, how do you connect with the bi plus community and make sure you are representing, kind of thing?
And it's funny because, you know, like, what does a bisexual look like, kind of thing? Like, yep. I feel like we blend in a lot.
We're all pointing at each other like this. But I think what you're implying, though, it's so varied that, like, the bi community is the biggest proportion of the queer community. And as with any community, it's so varied. So it's like, yeah, what does it look like? What is bi culture? Which is why those stereotypes, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And so when, like, my best friend is gay, and the first song I released was about him falling in love with a straight man.
Haven't we all done that?
So he, like, I came out as bi and I was experiencing that, and then he was on Instagram or Facebook and noticed that there was a group called Biconic and that they were asking for performers to come forward to perform for their live, because it was during COVID. So they were doing a live feed. But it was at that time where the performers could be in the room, but they were live broadcasting to the audience. Mm-hmm. So it was still together. And so I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." So I had some original stuff and I just put myself forward. And Bree Mountain, who's the founder of Biconic and Bi Plus Visibility as well, contacted me and we had this awesome chat. And she was like, "Yep, you're on the lineup." And that was my first time. Like, I turned up there. I was there by myself. I didn't have anyone else with me. And it was just this beautiful feeling of sitting in a room being like, "Oh, you're all... this, we're all in this together, like, you, wow." And I remember one of the performers saying, "It doesn't matter who you're with, like, whoever your partner is, how they identify, like, what their gender is, you're bi and you will always be bi, and your partner doesn't define your identity." And I just almost burst into tears because I'd just come out of a straight relationship and was like finding myself, and that was the thing that I was facing, was like, I'd heard, you know, the, "Oh, you're not bi enough, you're not gay enough, you're not straight enough," kind of thing. And I was like, "Oh, am I going to have to like date a woman to become, or like date someone who also identifies as queer to then legitimize myself in the community?" and I was like kind of feeling this pressure, and I was figuring out where it was coming from. And so that was really validating and comforting to hear that. Yeah.
I know that feeling, because recently the three of us went to a Bi Plus Pride picnic that was run by a group here in Melbourne, and that was the first time I'd been to a Bi Plus event, and feeling like, oh, I don't have to explain myself, or I'm not going to have to worry about someone going, you can't be bi, you're in a relationship with a man, or who have you slept with? What? Like, show me your license.
totally.
So that feeling I definitely know.
Is it on our license?
Yeah. Penelope, you mentioned Biconic, which I was wondering, because your big Biconic hit, or iconic hit that we love here in Big Bi Questions, is called Biconic. So I was wondering, did the song come first or did the group come first? But it sounds like the group came first. You were like, I want to be part of this Biconic group. Did that inspire the song Biconic?
Hugely. Yeah, that was the sole reason for the song. I'm not sure if you've heard my other songs, but they include a lot of sex and drugs and swearing. My mum's like, when are you going to write a song that doesn't include sex or drugs? And I was like, when it stops being fun, okay?
Love you. That's so good. Well,
that's what you want to do.
I see your mum really is checking out on you, isn't she? I'm part of that Biconic group. And so I actually remember when you were on, and the whole thing was just like COVID, like it was it felt like home. To get online and talk to different groups and to have different social groups still meeting, even if it was virtually. And so it was really good and very good to have that bit of family around, especially when you don't have family around. So, thanks for being there for that. And thanks for writing Biconic.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got goosebumps.
But I believe I was the first one that kept screaming for Biconic to be put on the Joy playlist. So here it is.
It is officially on the Joy playlist, which we love as well. Bisexual, iconic, bisexual, iconic,
bisexual, iconic, bisexual, iconic. I think that song was called Biconic. Oh, was my it? Gosh. Who's Biconic?
Penelope.
Penelope's Biconic. I'm Biconic. You're Biconic. We're Biconic.
Oh, Biconic. I thought you were like, who's singing that song?
Penelope was singing that song. And I don't know if you know the history of that song. They recorded a lot of people singing that as well. So it's not just Penelope singing. There's other people singing it as well, which is really cool.
Okay, cool.
I thought it was. Let's know. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You asked me a question before. What do I think makes a big bi anthem? What do you think makes a big banging bi anthem?
Yeah. During our pre-record, our previous chat with Penelope that we're playing bits of tonight, I didn't get a chance to say what I thought made a great banging bi anthem.
It's not like you didn't have a chance.
No, I definitely did. But we had to reveal our picks, which we will do very soon. I think for me, it's about the lyrics. I'm big on lyrics.
Yep.
I think also the picks I went for, at least, were all upbeat. And I know you didn't, and that'll come up later on, because one of the songs you revealed, we said it was our chill moment. If this was a playlist or a mixtape, your pick was the chill moment.
Yeah, that would be the cuddle and kiss moment on the couch.
Yeah, the big bi cuddle kiss anthem. Big bi cuddle couch. But yeah, I think the at least the anthems I picked, which you will hear about very soon, dear listener, like upbeat ones you can dance to. It was interesting, the four of us, we didn't have too many duplicates.
No.
And I think there's some really interesting ones. I especially liked Penelope's first pick, which I hadn't heard of until I started doing the show. This is Big Bi Questions, in case you weren't aware. I'm Big Bi Dave. Over there is Little Jace. You can message us if you like to. We're playing some snippets from our chat with the Biconic singer-songwriter Penelope. We're going to be revealing our Big Bi Questions, but we'll be back very soon. We need to very importantly chat about Mardi Gras, the Biconic float, which just recently in the 2025 Mardi Gras parade, you were leading it, you were performing, which looked amazing. When did that start? When did you start being a part of the Mardi Gras parade on the Biconic float?
Yeah, it was actually a whirlwind. It was four Mardi Gras ago now, including this one. And Bree spoke to me about being on the Biconic one. Was it Bi Plus Visibility? Oh, my memory is so hazy. And she was like, do you want to sing on it? Like, you know, and it'll be around the arena because it was COVID times. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, yes, amazing. And then I just completely forgot about it, and I was following up with her, and it was 2 weeks out from the parade, and I was like, hey, am I still singing on this thing? And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Pen. I've had to pull out. And she's like, she had like family and health and stuff. Everything just got a bit much for her. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And the other bifloat has had to pull out as well because there weren't enough participants. Mm. And I was devastated, not just, you know, for the selfish reason of like wanting to sing, but because it took so long for us to be included in Mardi Gras. And it, like, just having at least one float for people to see means so much, and to maintain our visibility means a lot. And I was very new. I'd literally never, ever been to a Mardi Gras. Because I'm a full-time musician, I'm always gigging, and then I would always forget to block out my calendar. So I'd be like, damn it, I missed it again. And so, yeah, and so I was like, oh, God, what are we going to do? And a designer I was, like, hanging out with, he was like, you're going to do it. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, all right, if you get this together, I will make your costume. And I was like, okay, done.
Good deal, yeah.
So you sent them your measurements.
Yeah. Anyway, so then I, that night I managed, it was 40 people for the float. So like the Oxford Street floats are 80, but the arena was 40. I got 40 people to sign up. I contacted, I have no idea how I just like nagged enough people in, you know, the office to be like, let's enter me. And we'd already been approved for our spot. So it wasn't like they were adding a new spot. It was just, yeah, people had backed out. And so I was like, can we please reinstate this float? I have the 40 people. This is really important that bisexuals are represented in Mardi Gras. Like, it's for everyone's best interest that we maintain our visibility with a float. And they were like, yep, okay. And thank you to them for honouring that, because they could have easily just been like, too hard, you guys missed your chance.
Mm.
And, yeah, then the beautiful George made me this incredible cape skirt, which I wear a lot. And yeah, and yeah, we marched around the arena. So I pulled this float together in 2 weeks. And I made everyone custom little bi bracelets.
Brilliant. Wow. So that's even a bonus as well.
Yeah, right. I was just like, I just wanted everyone to, you know, have something to take away. And yeah, so yeah, that was my first year. And then yeah, it's been every other year since. And this one I almost wasn't in it because I was meant to be already living in London. So it was actually only like a month ago that I contacted Brie and I said, hey, look, my plans have changed. I'm definitely going to be here for Mardi Gras. Do you want me? And she's like, well, funny you should say that, because you're still on the application as singing. So, do you want to sing? And I was like, 100%, like, put me in, coach. And so, yeah.
So how many people did you have with this Mardi Gras contingency?
We had just under 80. We had sadly, a couple of people weren't able to make it. So I think it was about 75 people.
So we could have gone.
It looked
like
I didn't know we had plans to go.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
So
next year.
You need to get us on the float next year. How does that sound?
Yeah,
you'll have 100%. To come back from London.
I'm sure a lot of people want to get on the float with you. It didn't look like there's much.
You're
space
looking at me when
in.
You said that. Thank you. I agree.
There'll be a very stringent auditioning process where you're gonna have to sing.
I'm biconic.
We do need to get to our big question. So the big question for this episode is, what makes a banging bi anthem? Before we do play a little game where we're going to reveal our picks for our bi anthems, Penelope, what are some characteristics of bi anthems? Without revealing any of your favourites, what are some characteristics you're looking for when you're like, that's a bi anthem, that's got this?
Yeah, there are two things that I thought of that keep it pretty simple. Like two different categories. So there's singability and danceability. I think mm-hmm. for any anthem, there needs to be that factor, because I feel like that makes an anthem. So like a ballad anthem would be you know, belt your heart out to it. And then we all know how it feels to dance along to a banging anthem. And then the other thing was like the attitude. So it's either a f- it or a f- yes.
Okay, explain more.
So, the Kid attitude is like that sassy, like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, you mm-hmm. want to come for me? Yeah, I'll tell you, la la la. And then the yes is like, bring it on! Oh my god, yay!
Okay.
I'm as you're saying this, I'm looking at my picks and I'm like, have I met this criteria? But it doesn't matter because it's subjective. Okay, well, I'm excited. I'm excited we can categorize them into, maybe we'll stop saying the word so I don't have to keep censoring them. Maybe the F effort and F yes. But anyway, that's the stuff. Yeah, true. I'm sure you're used to having to censor lyrics. That's really great categorization there. And already I'm excited to hear what you might have picked based on that. So we're going to play a game that I'm going to call Buy Anthem Snap, for lack of a better name that we might come up with later.
BAS.
So similar to the card game Snap, where you've got a stack of cards and you each put one out. And if they ever match, you say snap. I haven't played this in a long time. I think that's how you play it.
The rules don't change. It's okay.
It's my own game. I've made my own rules.
So we're not allowed to cheat.
No. How can you cheat?
No looking.
Oh, yeah. No looking. Well, that's why we couldn't reveal our picks yet. So each of us is going to – we're probably going to have time for three each. So let's say pick your three favorites if you've mm-hmm. got three. If not, if you've got two, that's fine. I've got my three. Each of us is going to reveal one of our picks, whichever one we want to start with. If any of the other people have it, say snap, and then we're going to chat about that one. So even if no one has it, we'll still chat about it because I want to know why you've each picked your anthems. Penelope, as our special guest, you get to go first. So pick one of your anthems, reveal it to us, and we'll say snap if we also have it.
Okay. Bicoastal by Peter Allen.
Brilliant.
It looks like no one else has it, but it we were surprised because we played that. When did we play that on a previous episode? First episode.
We played
and it. I was like, what's this song? I don't know this one. And then I was educated. And now, actually, it's been coming up on a certain music service that I use.
That's because it listens.
Yes. Well, I'm enjoying it now. And I'm like, actually, I really like this song. Why did you pick Biconic by Peter Allen?
So
I mean, maybe Peter Allen covering Biconic. AI could do it.
So I remember driving in the car with my mum to go pick up some music because I was like competing in singing competitions, and she was playing Peter Allen, and that song came on, and I was obsessed with this song.
How old were you at this? I'm assuming had bisexuality come into your head? Like, were you thinking about it from that point of view? Yeah. So you're purely like, this is just a fun song. Yeah.
I was like, this song is the best song I've ever heard. And I would have been 13, mm-hmm. 12. And she was like, Pen. And she wasn't out yet either.
Oh.
So I didn't know she was gay.
Okay.
And so she was like, do you know what this song is about? And I was like, no idea. And she was like, it's about him liking girls and boys. And I was like, oh, I'm slay. And it's one of those songs for me that I can't ever play it once. Like whenever I listen to it, I have to listen to it multiple times. And yeah, I was just like, and when she told me that, I was like, that's great. Cool. Good on him. And it helped me make more sense of the lyrics as well. But yeah, I think maybe that was like the subliminal, like.
I was going to say, is that like you're like, oh, that's a thing? You can like every gender, so to speak, or both. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, great, or multiple great people. Song. Yeah.
It's the show where everyone can get a little curious. This is Big Buy Questions on Joy 94.9.
We are getting very curious tonight on Big Buy Questions. A few weeks ago, the Big Buy Questions team were joined by the Biconic singer-songwriter Penelope to chat about what makes a bangin' by anthem. And Penelope's first bangin' by anthem that she picked was Bicoastal by Peter Allen.
And it turns out I hadn't heard it before.
I was going to say, Little Jace, you revealed just before we played the song that you had never heard it. I thought I was the only one on the show that never heard it. Tamsin was shocked when I told her I'd never heard it.
I had only heard of it, never heard it.
Never heard it.
Oh. Yeah, I hear of a lot of things.
What did you think of that as a bangin' by anthem?
I think it was great.
You were dancing along. I saw you.
I was watching you, too busy pretending to play your whatever.
My air trumpet.
Air trumpet.
And my air drums.
The whole idea that you can go either way was really good. I like that.
That's good,
I heard some of the bylines in it.
Yes, a lot of puns. Or maybe not puns.
I said a byline.
Oh, sorry. Do you need this?
Sure.
Our pun bell for those who are not aware of that. But yes, we had a chat to Penelope about bi anthems. But coming up, we are going to get Jace. You're going to reveal your pick that you did a few weeks ago, and then we will hear it. Here it is. You're on Joy 94.9. Jace, time for you to reveal one of your picks, and we'll say snap if we have it.
Okay, so I've chosen one by Blur called "Boys and Girls," which snap. Was really
yeah. I had that on my list. Yeah. If you don't know that one, so Blur, 90s rock band.
Yep.
It's from the album Park Life.
And the lyrics go, girls who want boys, who like boys to be girls, who do boys like their girls, who do girls like their boys, and always should be someone to, you really love.
Yeah.
Which is a great message, isn't it?
I know.
Although, it is the best song. I had a note saying maybe it's not, like, based on the verses, and it's talking about sort of... people going on holidays and stuff and getting potentially a bit intoxicated. And I think that always should be someone you really love might be seen as a bit of a joke almost. So in Queer as Folk, do you remember when it's used? Is that the first time you heard it?
It's in the first episode.
Is that the first time you heard it and you were like, I like this song?
I think I heard it on another radio station.
Okay. And then then you watch Queer as Folk.
Yeah, in that I remember that.
In the Queer as Folk scene, is there any kind of bi representation happening?
I don't know.
Oh, that's all right. But it's a great song. The other reason I had it was that in the music video, and for all of my picks, one of my other picks, I'm going to talk about the music video. In the music video, Damon Albarn, the lead singer, is very attractive, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very attractive.
So maybe, yeah, have a look at that one.
You are listening to Little Jace and Big Bye Dave on Big Bye Questions, and we have been chatting, well, a couple of weeks ago, we were chatting with Penelope, the biconic singer and songstress of the century, and... we've been playing Big Bye Anthem Snap, but we didn't have enough to do it all today, so we are going to have another episode next week, so it'll be part two.
It's our first two-part episode.
I know.
Of maybe many, who knows? Oh, I'm very excited
for part
two. Not
too much of a habit, thank you very much.
Because a lot more banging by anthems coming up part two.
Exactly, but we've also been asking for you to text in some messages and questions and stuff, and we did have a message asking what the plus meant on the bi plus. Dave, do you want to answer that question?
Sure, yeah. So the question was, why do sometimes we say bi plus or the name of the show? If you see it written down, it's always Big Bi Plus Questions. The plus, what I said at the very first episode or maybe chatting about the show early on, the plus is always there. The bi plus refers to anyone in the multi-gender attracted community, so bisexual, pansexual, omnisexual, heteroflexible, all the labels. You can listen to our previous episode about labels, learn more about those. But yeah, we're open to everyone, even questioning their identity. If you're multi-gender attracted, bisexual, pansexual, you're part of the bi plus community.
You're very eloquent.
Thank you.
I would never have been able to say that. I'd be like, nah, I haven't
it's
got
the
a clue.
Educator in me.
The edumacated.
Edumacator. Until part two of our Big Bye Bang and Anthems episode next week, you can follow us for more Big Bye Plus fun on our Instagram. We are on Instagram at Big Bye Questions. Let us know your favorite Bang and Bye anthem. Little Jace, thank you. For your being here.
No. Disrupting. I am the chaotic bisexual.
And I'm glad you finally got to hear Peter Allen's biconic song, Bicoastal. But yes, more banging anthems next week. Until then, don't forget the biggest question of them all.
What is love?
Bisexuals.
Thanks for playing along with us on Big Bye Questions. You can find our podcast at joy.org.au/Big Bye Questions or from all good podcast platforms. Do you have a Big Bye question for us to tackle? Send it in to bigbyequestions@joy.org.au or message us on our socials. We'd love to hear from you. Big Bye Questions may or may not be filmed in front of a live studio audience. This is a Joy 94.9 production. John Deake speaking.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.